listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in today. We have much to discuss. Much to discuss with you, ladies and gentlemen, as here we go again. Let's try this again. Let's try this again, folks. 10 years ago, it didn't work out so well. The whole defending the belt thing. Number one, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Well, guess what? The man got beat. Let's see if we can run off a few here. Not going to be easy. I mean, you go to Memorial Gym, it's not going to be easy. You play Bob Huggins at home, it's not going to be easy. I don't think either one of these games are going to be blowout. I think tonight's going to be tough, man. I know Vanderbilt on paper is not very good. I know losing Darius Garland has kind of blown up their season. I think this game is going to be, I don't say a struggle, but I don't think we're going to be just on cruise control in the second half trying to maintain that 20-point lead, wondering whether or not the walk-ons are going to get in. I think it's going to be a challenge. By the way, come out, watch the game with us tonight. We'll be at Hops and Hollers.
You going?
I believe so. I was just going to go from here to there.
Right.
Eventually, great Steppenwolf song. You ever listen to Steppenwolf back in the day?
Listen to a lot of it. We've got some loaded in his bumpers now. Yeah.
Because more than just the hits. I mean, you get into.
I haven't.
You ever heard Monster? The title track?
Not a long time.
America, where have you gone? Don't you care about your sunset? You ever heard that? Great Vietnam protest rock. Good stuff. All right, anyway.
It's not good.
A little off track. Hops and Hollers. Yeah, I got to go home for a minute because the wife is out. I got to see the kids. My mom's going to be there. It's going to be a whole thing. I'm going to try and make it by 7 o'clock for tip-off at Hops and Hollers. But Reed is going to be down there. A lot of the Fan Run folks are going to be down there. So come on out and see us tonight at your neighborhood bar doing neighborhood Tennessee things. Got to avoid a repeat of 08. I mean, let's be honest. How bad would it suck to lose tonight?
Oh, it'd be terrible.
I mean, you talk about like the ultimate Mitch Kupchak moment. Whoo! I'm not ready. I'm not ready to even like. I don't even want to really think about it too bad. And by the way, for you on those of you on Periscope, I know I wore Vandy colors today. I don't know how the hell what I was thinking. I don't know. I put on the first shirt I saw, yellow shirt. I grabbed my black jacket. Walking out, and here I am.
It's a little disgusting, Russell.
I'm disgusted with myself.
That's kind of a mustard color.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
It's a fancy golf shirt. You know, you're the guy that doesn't play golf, yet you wear your wardrobe is very golf-centric.
Golf-centric. I
you like a good-fitting chino, an oversized.
What's a chino?
It's like the pants you wear all the time.
Khakis.
Yeah.
I fell under the spell of the golf shirt while I was getting really into golf about 10 years ago. And
you're that dude that went out and bought all the stuff? Please tell me you're not that.
No, goober. I mean, I bought like a couple of golf shirts. Like, I'm not equipment guy, but you don't understand what you're missing out on. The golf shirt, and especially for you as a big guy, you probably sweat a lot. Like, golf shirt, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. Once you go golf shirt, you don't go back to cotton knit. No, it's like cotton knit's the worst.
No,
it gets really wet under your arms, and then you're just walking around with a ball of moist armpit sweat all day. Cotton knit sweat is the worst.
I don't sweat freakishly the way you do. I just don't. I can maintain a comfortable body temperature with 100% cotton.
Okay. Calvin Klein model over here doesn't sweat. Congratulations, man. We're all very impressed.
We'll break down the shirt. Number one, you're not wearing a t-shirt under it. We can see your chest.
That's not true. That's not true.
You got a wife beater on underneath that, Russ?
Oh, no.
The V-neck. V-neck Nation, where are you? Stand up, V-neck Nation.
All you really need is one of those astrological sign pendants.
Were you scared of my belly? Did my belly really repulse you that bad, Brandon Orick? I mean, I know it's the middle of January and it's
belly white,
freakishly pale, but
I'm not frightened.
You're not frightened. You don't like this. You don't like that.
I don't know. I don't understand why you're pulling up your shirt. You're trying to show us your V-neck, and you've done nothing.
V-necks
are disgusting.
They're not.
Chest hair hanging out like
you know what?
Like you're cruising for chicks. For one,
I enjoy
Studio 54.
I like a V-neck, but I don't like the ones that go. It can't go too deep.
Well, it's got to go underneath your collar. Is the point?
The collar on
V-neck.
That shirt's ginormous, and it's like flopped over now. And I mean, you should go with just a simple Ralph Lauren polo, Russ. It maintains its shape.
You know what? You know what's disgusting? Walking around with a crew cut collar underneath. Nah, man. A man shows a little bit of chest.
No.
A man shows a little bit of hair. A
man shows some versatility. I could strip off that nice shirt and be ready to go on my crew tee.
Bear loves to break balls about what everybody's wearing. He did this yesterday. He just comes in like it's the first thing. He's like going to go on John Reed, then he's going to go in on me, then he's going to go in on Chance.
I complimented John.
Just
I
everybody.
Said he's not dressing like a 12-year-old anymore.
And then it's like, Bear, do you really want to get into the mirror of breaking down wardrobe choices?
Well, no. I mean,
I don't think you do.
I mean, I dress
because you wear the same thing every day. I mean, let's just throw it out there. Every single day,
I dress to the job. I mean, when I took this job, there was not this Periscope thing involved, and it wasn't a big deal that my wardrobe consists mainly of, you know, gray.
Well, I'm just saying, man.
Blue jeans, tennis shoes.
This is The Drive, the show of record in East Tennessee. We have thousands of people watch this show now.
I dress a lot nicer when we go out now.
No, you don't. You show up, you put on a shirt with a collar on it.
I don't have a lot of shirts with collars.
A belt, something with a collar, maybe a long sleeve, a nice
unlike
button
you, down. I worked for a living for most
buttons.
Of my life.
Get some buttons. Whoa. Oh.
I worked in my I reached a point where I didn't have to have a – my jobs didn't require me to wear a collar to work, and it's been liberating. Absolutely liberating.
I'm just saying.
I can wear shorts year-round if I want to.
You want to come at me? You come at the king, you best not miss.
We'll put that mirror back on you, buddy. Dressed up, me or you, Russ. That's a bet you lose, my friend. That's a bet you lose. Is that what you're challenging?
I don't know. I've never seen you in anything other than jeans and a gray T-shirt and perhaps a ratty hoodie.
Don't forget the red
jacket.
I wouldn't know.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
It means you're wearing the same ratty hoodie you've been wearing all week.
Don't forget the red shorts in the summer, Russ.
$500 says you have on a gray T-shirt underneath that.
Yeah. Always. Remember, were you around when I had him going and I was like, it made him feel really bad. I was like, well, I'm monochromatically colorblind, Russ, and if I just go with gray and navy blue, I always match.
Last night, got to watch a little SEC hoops. Take a spin through the league. Kentucky just smacked Mississippi State, man. That was not – Kentucky – it's weird, man. I think like not having as much star power, not having an Anthony Davis on the team, not having Harrison Twins on the team, not having John Wall, you know, like a superstar, I think that's actually made them better. I think it's taken some of the pressure off. And they have three sophomores now, so they have Henry Travis, so they have like an inside presence. That's a good team, man.
They're very athletic.
That's a good team. I think that's going to be two tough games for us. South Carolina, They upsets Auburn now. Florida was on the ropes at home against A&M and finally woke up and came back.
How much did they win by?
About 10 points or so. I mean, that wasn't.
What happened in the Ole Miss?
Bama smoked them.
Do you think we've awoken the giant?
Yeah, I think Alabama's pretty good. And I think the SEC is what we thought it was. It's a tough league, man. There's a lot of good teams in this league.
That stretch at the end of the season for us is going to be absolutely brutal, Russ. I mean, just absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I think we probably lose a game or two.
Yeah. I don't think that would be a bad thing. We were debating that out in the vestibule before you got here. John was calling me soft. Because the nightmare scenario for me would be like 38-2, knocked out in the Elite Eight, or 37-2.
Well, I mean, here's what I think would be best. And obviously what would be best is if we just run the table, right? We go 18-0 in conference play, 3-0 in the SEC tournament, and win six games and win our first national championship ever. And la-di-da, wouldn't that be nice? Okay, back in Realityville, where we're probably going to lose a couple of games, like, what I would like to see happen is we go on a run here and stay number one for 3 or 4 weeks. Let it be a nice story. We get all the nice pub, helps in recruiting, all that stuff.
Really cement that we're one of the best teams.
And then we lose to Kentucky, you know, whoever. Right. It doesn't even have to be a great team. Like, we lose a game or two down the stretch. It's like, okay, knock us down a peg. I want to win the stupid freaking SEC tournament.
I don't care if we go out first night down there.
And if we win that and we only have one, maybe two losses, I still think we're probably a one seed, no worse than a two seed, certainly. And that would be fine with me. Like, really, I would like to, you know, three things.
I don't want to be geographically screwed by the committee on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to go on a little bit of a run as – number one for a couple of weeks, have that last. I would like to win the SEC tournament. I would like to have a good seeding going into the NCAA tournament, and obviously would like to go as far as we possibly can in that. Is that asking for too much to be number one and win it all? Is that asking for too much? I feel like I've put the time in, man. 30 years I've been watching this basketball team. 30 years. Can you believe that, Brandon Orr? Been watching it longer than you've been alive.
I watched it for a little bit longer than that. Whoa, was this today? Did you see this? Somebody tweeted at us. Tennessee fan hit the was on Price is Right. And
really?
He spun the wheel and it landed on 100.
I got a confession to you.
What's that?
I've never really watched The Price is Right. I don't know how to play that game.
You've never watched?
I know.
Never? Not one time?
I mean, I've seen it on. It's been on. I'm just not a huge game show guy,
I
guess.
If I see an old one on that I don't really remember on, like, they've got that game show network, I'll watch it for a little bit.
What's your favorite game, Bear? Price is Right.
I like the one at the – just the guessing, like, at the end, the showcase showdown.
See, I don't know what's going on here. I found The Price of Right intimidating. Like, there's just too many. Like,
you gotta. I mean, it takes a lot of skill. You gotta really know your prices, Russ. You gotta be able to look and say, hey, that costs that. That costs that. And you gotta add it all up in your head and then give them an accurate bid on.
I'm more of a Jeopardy guy. Straightforward. Do you know the answer?
I could destroy you in Jeopardy.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's the one you dodged.
That's almost
you've
as good as you being
the...
as good a dresser as me. It's just, you're full of hysterics today, Bear. I can tell it's going to be a good show. I can tell it's going to be a good one.
Well, you and your rabble on Twitter quite frankly, you've pissed me off since yesterday. I see the tweets.
What tweets? Well, I haven't made a tweet at you.
Your little sycophants.
What did you say?
The Russell Lights.
Sycophants? Is that
Sycophants. You knew what I meant.
Stay with us. We got to take a quick time out. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Coming up, get your Rocky Top report. We've got an update on the T. Martin. We've got his salary coming out. A couple of notes on the game tonight for you. Coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio.
This is The Drive.
Tennessee, number one ranked basketball team in action tonight. 7 o'clock tip-off against Vanderbilt.
Oh, ESPN2 has the telecast.
That was a good drop by you last night, Brandon.
Thank you, Russell.
I feel like that voice is really coming along.
I mean, he really took a step, didn't he?
You want me to drop some knowledge on this game? Here's why Tennessee ought to win.
Vanderbilt sucks.
Well, allow me to illustrate. Since SEC play began, Tennessee, second highest scoring team in league play, we're averaging 87.6 points per game. 87.6 points per game in league play. That's stupid. Vanderbilt is the lowest. So you got the highest scoring team versus the lowest scoring team. Vanderbilt scoring 61.8 points per game. Tennessee's the best shooting team in the league. Ball shooting 51% in league play. That's insane. Vanderbilt has the worst field goal percentage defense. They're giving up 46.5% shooting to opponents per game. Tennessee has allowed two. Can you make any more noise over there?
Maybe. Sorry.
Tennessee has allowed two opponents to. Oh, I mean, we're in a studio. This is The Drive. We're trying to do a radio show here. Are you settled? I'll give you this time. You let me know when you're good. Good?
Rock.
All right. Tennessee has allowed two opponents to shoot 46.5% or better. That's Kansas and Arkansas. And Vandy averages giving up 46.5% or better every single night. Those numbers are culled from Robert Lewis, volquest.com. Rick Barnes, we found the answer to our trivia question from earlier, the thing about Rick Barnes has led two schools to a number one ranking now.
Yeah, saw that. That's a pretty
wild
list.
Do you see the other ones?
Yeah, but I can't remember them off the top of my head.
I think we got all of them except for Eddie Sutton. I think that was the one we missed.
But no, we got Cal and Roy Williams, I know for sure. Did we get – and Patino.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get Eddie Sutton.
We didn't get Eddie Sutton. I don't think we got Frank McGuire either.
No, we didn't.
Because when did McGuire do it and where?
South Carolina and NC State. Who is – I get my McGuires mixed up. Al McGuire was at Marquette, right? Frank McGuire's at South Carolina, NC State.
Are they related?
I don't think so.
Al McGuire was the old announcer on
– Yeah.
After he got done coaching.
He was Kevin O'Neill's friend. And their times at Marquette together.
Could you imagine being O'Neill's friend?
Does he have friends?
Being O'Neill's friend?
What is he doing now? Is he still around?
Or hanging out with me? O'Neill?
Yeah. Is he coaching anywhere?
I don't know if he's coaching anywhere. He surfaces. You'll hear him on different shows.
I saw him on TV. Like, he was doing stuff with Fox a year or two ago. And I was just watching, and I didn't even recognize him at first. Because remember how goofy he looked here? Like, he looked like some kind of twisted Muppet or something. Like, this, like bald, but a big frizzy head of hair. You looked like, remember Larry from Perfect Strangers? That's like what he looked like, a balder version of that guy. But now he's got, like, his hair is all close cropped. Like, you don't even recognize him. He doesn't look like the same guy. Anyway.
Huh.
Kevin O'Neill sidebar. T. Martin, contract released, $450,000. We're getting a deal on Tomoris. He's like one of the lowest paid coaches on staff.
Yeah, I bet if he he's still getting paid from USC, though. Right?
It's a good point. I don't know.
I'd be willing to bet he is, and I'd be willing to bet it's the same kind of deal where Butch was going to give Loxley a hell of a deal on going up there to Maryland.
I think we did that with Charles Kelly, too.
Right? Yeah, I think that's just part of it. So, you know, it's not – since he's getting paid so much from USC, he's getting paid more by USC than we would be paying him to be a position coach.
The Rocky Top Report is brought to you by the Kregner Group. Saw my guy Bo Kregner today over at a local West Knoxville eating establishment. BoKnowsHouses.com is his website. Bo does a great job with realty. He's got his own group over there, the Kregner Group. They can help you any of your real estate needs. You need to sell your home. You need a new home. Bo knows how to do it. BoKnowsHouses.com is the website. Go over there for a free consultation. Be sure to let them know you heard us talking about it here on The Drive. And the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson, saw him too. If you're thinking about buying, building, or refinancing, call Chris, 865-388-7634, or just go online to BurlesonMortgageTeam.com. He is the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson. Tennessee, what's the line on this game right now, Brandon? I saw, was it 14 earlier? I think it's gone down.
Yeah, I think it's dropped. Looking right now, it's 8.5.
8.5.
A lot of money coming in on Tennessee, I guess.
No, on Vandy.
No.
Vandy.
But you still don't know how this betting thing works, do you?
No.
If it were coming on Tennessee, the line would go up.
Why?
Because they think we're going to win by more.
Huh.
And so you have
Seems like that would keep people from betting.
Well, yeah, on Tennessee. You bet on Vanderbilt.
You've lost me.
I know the thing, like, I usually know when Bear's playing. I seriously don't know if I
swear to God, this one's no.
You just don't get the betting line. Because you're confusing me by it now. Like, I don't know how to explain it properly to you. I feel like I'm doing a bad job of explaining the gambling line. Anyway. Memorial Gym is a difficult place to play, historically.
It's a hard place to shoot. It's not a shooter's gym.
You don't like it.
I don't like it because I've seen over the years a lot of really good Tennessee teams go down there and get in there in that wacky gym with the weird like depth problems that you it's totally unique. They will never that's the only gym they play in that's like that all year, including the tournament.
Can't remember who it was who said it. It may have been Patino who said the most helpless feeling in the world as a basketball coach is being at Memorial Gym and watching your team run away from you.
Yeah.
Knowing they can't hear you at the other end of the court. I kind of like it, man. I like it as a college basketball environment. I know, and you're right. We stumble there.
But then again, there's been Tennessee players. I mean, Grant's career high is in that gym. Like, it's weird. Either it really messes him up, or there have been some Tennessee players that have gone down there and just burned that place down to the ground. Bone had his career high in that gym. I mean, over the years, plenty of Tennessee players have gone off in there. It's kind of like our Western home.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, we own that.
I won't say it's my favorite environment in college basketball. What's your favorite place? Like, what's on your college basketball bucket list? The place you want to go to? And it's weird because, for me, like, there's no even second thought about it. And even though they're my most hated team, I mean... It's got to be Cameron Indoor Stadium, right?
No. Madison Square Garden. I like to see UCLA play out in L.A.
What do they call that? Is it the Pavilion?
Yeah.
Pauley Pavilion.
Pauley Pavilion.
The Palestra in Philly.
Cameron would definitely be up there. North Carolina.
Allen Fieldhouse.
Ooh, that'd be a good one. Yep.
It's probably mine.
Allen Fieldhouse?
Yeah, Kansas.
That'd be a pretty good one.
Minnesota has a really cool old...
Barn?
Yeah, the Barn.
What about Indiana?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Memorial Gym.
Yeah, like when us won the Powerball and we dedicated our lives to just watching live collegiate sporting events, which is what we'll do. We'll get a bus and we'll just travel around the country.
Sounds good to me.
Like your bucket list, you imagine all the cool gyms? Oof.
Do a little road trip, take the remote equipment, dial in, do the show. You would leave state lines for that?
If I'm on a Prevost bus, yeah, absolutely I will.
On the bus, like we all have those little sleeping compartments.
Whoever wins the Powerball gets the master at the back of the bus.
Ah, there's the master at the back of the bus.
Master suite's in the back of the bus.
Where does everybody else sleep? Those stacked, like those coffin, compartments?
Like compartments.
I could do that. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Go to the phones.
Balling.
Jamie, up first today on The Drive. Good afternoon, Jamie.
I guess They're throughout Madison Square, so I guess it's NBA and college.
No, that's where
St. John's plays.
St. John's plays.
Can I do NBA on that?
Sure, why not?
Sure.
Well, I'd like to go to Boston Garden. I guess it's TD Garden now.
That place is dump, Jamie. You know it is. It's nothing like, you know, where the Lakers play. I mean, it's just, it's a
get garbage. Out of here, Bear.
I mean, it smells like rotten fish and hot garbage.
You're both a joke. They're both corporate, soulless shells of the Boston Garden and the Forum.
You know what it smells like in the Boston Garden, Bear? It smells like championship winning.
Oh, man.
Not when Showtime came in there.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll stack up our NBA World Championship trophies against yours and see who's got the most. You want to do that?
The all-time five greatest starting NBA players come from the same organization, Los Angeles Lakers.
Says who?
Says me and a lot of other people.
A lot of people are saying.
A lot of people.
A lot of Lakers fans.
There's a couple of us.
Oh, here's, go ahead.
And I agree with Ben too, man. I've always been a closet Kansas fan. I'd love to see, the other night when they were playing Iowa State, and that they were like, trying to knock down free throws in the final 60 seconds, and Iowa State come down, hit a quick bucket and foul. You know, it was one of those scenarios. Man, that crowd in there it reminds me of Bruce Pearl era basketball and tennis and 2019 Rick Barnes era basketball. The way those crowds get into it, and they don't shut up during the timeouts either. And I've always enjoyed that type of atmosphere. I thought I'd grow out of it the older I got, but in basketball, that's great, man.
Like when the ref makes a bad call and everybody starts going crazy and it gets a little tense. There's like a tension in the atmosphere. You're like, a fight's about to break out. Like that's get your adrenaline going. You know, it's a rush.
Yeah, and that it's like you said, Cameron Indoor. I hate this, but man, that place is electric. Game in, game out. No matter who they're playing, you know, the camera almost shakes.
Stokely was back in the day, and I'll just tell you, man, they should have never, ever built that stupid arena. They should have kept Tennessee in that and just dumped money into it and brought it up to date, but they should have never given up Stokely Athletic Center.
Quite the home court advantage there at Stokely. I'll agree with you, Bear. Guys, quick question. You know, it's hard to even understand and quite come to grips on how to feel being number one is something, so... Let me ask you a question. What is Rick Barnes making over there right now? You might know.
2.5 or something.
Yeah, I think he went over 2, maybe up near 3.
He's got some he's got some escalators.
Wouldn't it be the most Tennessee thing if Texas contenders continue to suck for them to come throw the bank at Rick Barnes and him do a pull Lane Kiffin on us?
He ain't going back down there. They burnt that bridge with him.
He probably got a little bit more moral fortitude in it than Lane does. Just I don't see him doing it either, but I wouldn't be shocked to wake up, one day and find that out on Twitter or something, because that would be such a Tennessee thing. Because, Lane Kiffin didn't do very good his first year, but if people go back in time, I felt good about the direction the program was going. You know, of course, after he left and we found out that we were, never been able to sustain that kind of program because of the recruiting violations and just other violations and his personal violations. But I felt good about it. I felt good about the direction the program was going in. Do y'all remember back, when it was actually here, put ourselves in the present, I thought the way he was recruiting and the kind of football and the way he didn't take any smacks from Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, putting our program on the map. What'd y'all think?
Yeah, I mean, There's no doubt it was a fun 9 months, and like we were all on board that bandwagon and the Lane train, whatever you want to call it, until that night he left. I mean, it changed on a dime, but there was kind of like the feeling that, yeah, we all know he's an SOB, but he's our SOB, and we kind of liked that, and it was
kind of Bruce Pearl-esque. Yeah. SEC game day, I think it might have been ESPN game day, had him on the set for the SEC championship. You know, here we are, haven't done anything in a long time, and they've got Lane Kiffin, on the set for the SEC championship game, you know, and I thought, you know, that says a lot for him to be able to get our program up in that limelight. But yeah, I just started thinking, you know, I'm having a hard time coming to grips, being so good at something, man. And, you know, but I'll say this on the way out, you know, I heard Chance on Sactional, before y'all came on saying, you know, talking to Phil about, you know, the Barnes bashers. And, you know, to bash Barnes today is ludicrous, and you'd have zero credibility. But to bash Barnes 3 years ago was absolutely justified. I mean, nobody was expecting Barnes to get us in the tourney, but we couldn't sniff the NIT, and he wasn't recruiting, and you guys know it. We all know it. And nobody was really impressed, you know, with what he was doing on the floor either, you know, holding on to his timeouts and whatnot. So, I'd be fooled to sit in here and bash Barnes.
Are you walking back your walk back of the Barnes bashing?
Absolutely not. I'm doing the exact opposite. He deserved every bit of it in his first 2 years.
Wow.
Watch one of the masters work.
Wow.
I respect his game.
Thank you, Barry. But like I said, anybody to bash in the day is an idiot.
Here, we're number one in the nation, Jamie, and you're whining about games 4 years ago when he was cleaning up Donnie Tindall and Conzo Martin's mess, when he was literally taking out the trash every night? Really? You're going to come on here when we're number one and on the land
number
and
one.
Dredge up that? Really?
Yeah, he is.
Hey, y'all hanging in.
I mean, are we not number one? Did I miss something? Brandon, are we number one?
As far as I know.
Bear, are we number one?
Indeed we are.
Ryan Sellers, are we number one? Yeah. We're number one.
We're the best. We sucked. We were 16-16. That was kind of a Potter team.
Oh, my God. Take us to break. That was ridiculous.
The Drive.
Hungry
fans, this is The Drive.
Chip on Twitter says, so let me get this straight. Jamie is a Celtics fan and a Steelers fan, and he's dying on that I told you so 4 years ago hill. All about poking that chest out.
Correct.
Utterly outstanding.
That's Jamie. Not everybody gets it.
He walked back the walk back. Like, the rare double walk back. I mean, that was impressive. Didn't even realize it was happening until it was over.
And just some show history for our newer listeners. Like, before I was on the show, I hated Jamie.
9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. And who I've ever called for firing, it didn't need firing.
Hey, Conzo. What'd he say out at the airport?
Look at me, Conzo. Look at me. I drove all the way out here to see you. Look at me, Conzo. Turn your head, Conzo. Look at me, Conzo!
Wasn't that right after they got beat by Michigan, got knocked out? Was it that game?
I don't know. Can we move on? Like, we've been through all this crap, and here we are, number one. And we're going to dwell? I ain't dwelling.
On the Conzo.
I ain't dwelling. I'm out of the Conzo, baby.
9 out of 10. 9 out of 10.
Haji is next on The Drive. Hello, Haji.
Hello, individuals.
What's up, man?
I got to tell you where I'd like to go see one game one time.
Where's that?
The Cameron Indoor before Cameron Indoor. Stokely Athletic Center.
That's what I said, Haji.
One more time. I'd like to go in there and see Kentucky or Vanderbilt.
They had those wacky stanchions.
Oh, just 12,700 of pandemonium.
We have the tartan rubber court, too.
We had tartan rubber court. Hodge, do you remember the basketball stanchion? It was that weird, gigantic pipe that went up and then, like, bent.
Yeah, remember when they had the Vol Classic, they'd lower the scoreboard down to the floor and change the names on the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah.
Raise it back up.
Have you guys seen, and sorry to change the subject briefly, have you guys seen the Lindsey Nelson Stadium? They're pretty much done with the turf. The entire field is synthetic turf except for the pitcher's mound. It's the only dirt on the field, including the base paths is synthetic grass. It's just brown.
That's weird.
It is weird. You can't tell. But the players love
it.
So
you're not going to smell the grass?
No.
What about the warning track?
It's probably rubber, too, I'd imagine.
I think it's still gravel or whatever they have out there.
They got to have something to let them know they're getting close.
Yeah.
Al McGuire flipped off the UT crowd back in, at Stokely, by the way. You mentioned Al McGuire earlier.
Why'd he do that?
Because we were loud. He didn't appreciate it.
Well, it was probably Paizan, the late great one.
All this stuff about like Tennessee fans being the most obnoxious fan base on Twitter. It's not like this started Shiano Sunday, all right? We've been doing it long before like Twitter, me and Brandon came through. I mean, you had Bear and Haji out there in the late 70s. Flicking their cigarettes
Brown
at
throwing hot dogs at Barkley. You remember that?
What?
Throwing hot dogs at Barkley?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Speaking of throwing things, you know, and going to Vanderbilt, they used to throw oranges at us when we'd leave the court.
Oh, yeah.
And lit cigarettes.
I'll go ahead and tell you.
You could smoke in those venues.
I dumped, remember those King Kong plastic cups of Coca-Cola you could get back in the day, those huge cups?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I may or may not have dumped one on Dale Brown as he was walking out of there one night when he got raucous.
Because they had to walk right out by where I usually sat when I was selling programs.
Yeah, we probably weren't sitting that far away from each other, Haji. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Were you in there the day that Kenny Skywalker from Kentucky had to duck to make it underneath the backboard on a dunk? It was incredible.
I don't remember that specifically, but I didn't miss a game probably from 70 to 78, so I'm sure I was there. It was incredible. I do have a comment about this team here now. If we can, that losing to Vanderbilt 10 years ago was just took the sting out of being number one, and or the steam out of being number one, and I think this year's team is a little bit different, but it's still the pressure of that first game out being number one, and the college kids being able to handle that, whether they got a big head or where their head is, you know, if they can get by this week and beat West Virginia. And then all of a sudden they're comfortable being number one. I think they could probably go on another 2-week run, and it'll be a source of pride to defend that. Whereas before, you know, they felt like they were being overlooked by being, you know, third or fourth. So it's just going to be interesting to see what happens tonight. I'll be nervous about it until it's over.
It's a wacky gym.
Yeah, anything can happen in that place. I hate that place. But, you know, all I want is win the SEC outright, whatever that takes. If it's 15-3 or 14-4 and get a number one seed, that's the two main goals. It doesn't really matter if you win them all or not, but it will help to – it's going to shuffle. Those number one teams are going to shuffle. Duke and Gonzaga are going to take their turns, I'm sure, when we lose. But we just want to be in the hunt and everybody's – and we want every time they talk about, you know, the brackets that Tennessee's mentioned every single time when they talk about the one seed. That's going to be fun to watch for the next month and a half, 2 months.
I want to win the stupid freaking SEC tournament.
I want to hear Jim Nantz talk about our players in April. That's what I want to hear.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, like, Grant Williams might get Jim Nantz's tie.
Grant Williams.
That's right.
Mike Schofield.
When Jim Nantz bestows the tie upon
you. Starts waxing poetic about his tie.
It's the most coveted trophy in all of sports, Jim Nantz's tie.
Yeah, I do like that. Our, you know, we might lose three out of the last four, who knows, down the stretch. But I like playing those ranked teams at the end, getting us ready for the tournament. So we won't be, you know, surprised. I'd rather play them all at the end than all at the beginning. We might be 11-0 in conference and go 13-5, but we'll still be ready to play. We're not going 13-5, by the way.
Oh no, that would be a huge disappointment.
Just winning the conference outright will be all that matters, and being a one seed.
Yeah, I agree. That would be
rock
fun.
On with your fanfare.
All right.
Oh, by the way, Stokely, Eagles, Chicago.
I saw the police there. REM.
Presley. What?
I saw the police and REM there.
Did you? No, I didn't see that.
Pearl Jam played in there? Tate have a heavyweight title fight there?
I was there for that.
Yeah, it was unclosed.
it was,
It was
and
close.
He got knocked out, right?
Yeah, he was ahead on all the cards.
Ace is screaming at him, begging him not to do it that last round.
He was trying to still be aggressive in the last round.
He wanted to knock him out in his hometown.
And you could have heard a pin drop in the whole place. It went silent.
Who was it who beat him? Do you remember?
Burbick, wasn't it? Or was it?
No. It was old. That would have been somebody like an Ernie Shavers or.
Hang on, somebody. I'll come up with it in a second. But I mean, when he got knocked down, the whole place went quiet, and then everybody just started screaming, "Get up!" And there was no way he was asleep. He wasn't getting up. But
I just remember Ace Miller was screaming at him not to do it. And yeah. He did it.
What? Who was that? Somebody's listening. Getting ready to call and tell us.
Oh, I'm looking.
Can't think who that was.
Mike Weaver.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mike Weaver, 1980.
Yeah, Mike Weaver. Yeah.
Knocked out in the 15th round.
He was ahead on all cards.
He lost his next fight to Trevor Burbick.
And then, I can't believe Burbick was fighting in the 80s because that's who Tyson beat when he took the title.
Then after he lost to Weaver and Burbick, he won a string of about 13 fights in a row all the way up to 1988. But – I don't think he ever got another title.
That was just to get a paycheck. He was never going to have another shot at the title. He was just trying to stay out of trouble. Who did Mike Weaver lose to then? He lost the next fight too, I think, probably.
There's no I got.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia. I pull that up for you. Let's see. That was 1980 when he won the belt. Larry Holmes.
He's a bad man.
He's a bad man, and he didn't lose the next fight either.
Mm-mm.
He won a few.
He was the one that Ali took all that punishment from, that last fight that he shouldn't have fought in. I guess he did that one for the money.
Have you guys listened to the Tyson podcast I was talking about?
No, I haven't.
You go back and listen to that, man, because and it's long, so I'm still going through it. He talks about – you forget, like, how smart that guy was about boxing. Like, he knows everything about the history of the sport and can tell you about like old Jack Dempsey fights and Joe Louis fights and stuff like that. I mean, he was a student of the sport. Completely, totally, 100% insane, but when he was dedicated to his craft, like he was more than just a ferocious puncher. He was a true boxer.
Yeah. I mean, he was the best boxer in the world, and he also happened to be probably the best street fighter in the world. Remember when he beat Mitch Green down outside that club before they fought?
Dude was nuts.
Head swolled up like a pumpkin.
He's my all-time favorite Tiger owner, too.
Haji, thanks, man.
Those are all the Tiger owners. Yeah, thank you, guys. Let's go beat those damn doors.
Let's do it. Look at this picture. Look at this picture. Mike Tyson in his underwear wrestling with a full-grown tiger.
Yeah. He could if he had a blade on him, I'd put it at even odds.
He had that.
If he had a knife,
that Mao tattoo.
Yeah, I think it'd be really hard barehanded, but he might.
He might what?
He might be able to kill it with his bare hands.
Oh yeah, I mean pound that thing into submission. Crazy. Crazy stuff. 865-546-8200. Coming up next hour, we'll hit the reset button for those of you just joining us. We'll get your hot question going here in about an hour from now. We're going to be joined by Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean to get a little flavor of the game from Nashville. We'll talk to him about, you know, what Vanderbilt could do to give Tennessee problems tonight. I mean, they've got some players. We talked about the Chatou kid he's going to be a problem, and they've got a guard, I think, that is getting, you know, some NBA scouts are kind of looking at him, but obviously they have not had a great season in Tennessee. Man, 8.5-point favorite. We'll talk about it when we continue. It is The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. And again, tonight we'll be watching the game at Hops and Hollers. Friday we'll be live at Jets Pizza in Farragut. So make plans to come out and see us Friday. Jets Pizza, Kingston Pike in Farragut. Always a good time to be had out there. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Stay with us.